go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Fear not, fear not. There will be a program tonight. I apologize for the late start, but hey, we've been running overtime a lot of evenings, so maybe it'll balance. I don't know. It is the second day of June, 2020. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where we put the. That's where Bert the Deacon Asa puts all the podcasting stuff and the stream link and all the things that are. Necessary to keep this program on the air. You can go there if you'd like to. That's the best place to go for the live stream. And just a reminder, at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, it's also the best place to go for the Mike Malloy Show. We air it every night at 9. New programming, what have you. And we're grateful to Mike for letting us run it. Thanks, Mike. And also, of course, there at HeadOn.live is the chat room link, and if you hit it and get a screen name and a password, if you already got one already, then jump right in and be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific. Yeah. And if you jump in right now, you'll be greeted by Anatole and Bill, by House of Roberts and Jimmy out in the Great Northwest, by Ralps and Squeaky and Will in Chicago, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, exercising the better part of valor, discretion being that, although he is a third stage guild navigator, he's chosen not to fold space into the steamy, infernal confines of the man cave. Yeah. Also alongside pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. So we got a good group in there this evening. And you're mighty welcome to wander in too. Thanks for the good wishes, Flavio. Flavio says, no Titanic Tuesday. Hope everything's okay at the fabulous Kincaid. It's the magnificent Kincaid Mansion and the fabulous Horn Studios. Yes. Everything's well here. I'll tell you what it was. Starting about, okay, so Agnes is grandbaby sitting while our eldest gets some necessary organizing and rearranging done. And so starting about 15 till 5 Eastern Daylight Time, she started calling me like every minute and a half. And I said, hi, honey. Yes. Hello. Are you okay? And all I would hear was what was going on in the background. And then she did the same thing to Ferg. And so when I realized that this was just going to go on for the rest of the night unless I did something, right about what would have ordinarily been airtime, I jumped in the car, ran downtown, and told her, I said, you do realize that, and she looked at her phone and said, oh my God, how many times have I called you? I said, no telling. You call, and she said, I've been calling Ferg. I said, you've been calling me. Oh. So where was your phone? Because there was an iPhone update, iOS 13.5 or whatever came out today. I took it. The wireless down there is for shit, so she hasn't yet. But she had her phone in her back pocket, and I'm not sure if maybe she was. But when your iPhone is off, I mean not off, but you know, when it's in standby mode, it shouldn't be, but it did. And so we got butt dialed. But I think I got it squared away. At least I hope I've got it squared away. She hasn't called me again since I saw her. I don't know if it's got to do with the update or if it just had to do with the, shall we say, snugness of her genes. And I'm not talking about her DNA. I'm guessing probably the latter. And, yeah, okay. But, you know, that's just the kind of oddness and strangeness that populates my existence. Yeah, okay, thank you, Randy. Yeah, I went from iOS 13.5 to iOS 13.5.1. And so I've got it, but she doesn't, and she'll get it when she comes home this evening. Hey, you know, just another day. And what another day it was. This is it. This has been it. It took us all the way to the second day of June 2020 to get to the most beautiful day of the year thus far here in almost level West by Cold Trump Genius Stan. And you couldn't have ordered one up better. High, deep, dark blue skies. Magnificent sunshine just pouring down. I mean, wonderful. And looks like tomorrow and even Thursday might be the same way. And here's the funny thing. If we were having the horn in, it would have been this coming Saturday. And the weather icon, the app on my phone, calls for intermittent thunderstorms on Saturday. But you know what? It isn't going to happen. Might rain a little before dawn, might rain a little after dusk. But on the first Saturday in June in this part of the country, it doesn't rain. And it will likely be an exquisite day. We'll look for another something similar when we do get around to having the horn in. I still want us to do it really badly. Because I would have so much fun. Cooking and carrying on and having a blast and feeding people and, you know, showing folks the sights of this little area. When it's safe to do it, we will. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to Rocco, to Elizabeth, to Hung Like Jesus. Thank you all very kindly. And thanks to Yuki for finishing off Bruce's challenge. So we've got just an ordinary fundraising goal this evening, $200. And thanks to all of you who are in one form or another partial sponsors of the program and make the program available for everyone, regardless. It is deeply appreciated. Oh, let's see. I had a note from I've got Joey's journal here. Bob, that, by the way, in case any of you are wondering, that's spelled B-A-A-A-A-A-W-W-W-W-B with an exclamation point. Bob, yes, I decided to, instead of spend Memorial Day with my wife's family, that I would take a trip with Giraffe down to D.C. It was a good decision. Again, it would make more sense to try to connect with a stuffed animal than her Trump-loving racist family. Well, Giraffe accidentally squealed on me, and my wife demanded that I take her to D.C. the next weekend. Giraffe was too scared to go because of all the rioting. Well, Giraffe's a gentle soul. So we went and had a wonderful time. Yes, you could say we had a riot. Get it? Riot? Ah. We took in all the sights and even a protest march down 17th Street to Constitution Avenue. I was so heartened to see that many of the people in the march were white or Caucasian descent. I was very excited to witness this. So we started home yesterday, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's my mother-in-law. She was glad that we were okay, and then she shared, "Isn't it terrible, all these blacks destroying all of this property and looting? I mean, it's a shame that cop killed that black guy, but these people have got to stop destroying property and looting." I immediately yelled, and Joey typing in all caps here, "No, Charlene, it's not our Charlene. This is not Charlene in Rogue's Island." This is a different Charlene. No, Charlene, it's a shame that some people destroyed that property, but what needs to stop is racist cops killing black people. That's what needs to stop. I continued, and as far as looting is concerned, some of those people who were looting were likely doing so because they may very well be out of work during this pandemic where the unemployment rate's nearly 15%. If anybody during these times went into Target and pilfered some food, I'm not sure that I blame them. Tell me, Charlene, were you this outraged when former Governor Rick Scott's company ripped off Medicare for tens of millions of dollars, which ended up being the largest Medicare fraud in history? But you're so fucking worried about somebody stealing some food for their hungry family? You and all your friends were so worried about Rick Scott ripping off millions in Medicare down in Florida that you not only voted Scott in for two terms as governor, but then you turned around and voted him in for the U.S. Senate. That's how worried you were about looting. Yep, says Joey, it was a riot, all right. This has been Joey's Journal for Tuesday, the second day of June, with Giraffrey hiding at home. Smart one there, Giraffrey. Let's see, what else? Kyle, with a note from earlier this afternoon. I want to offer a unique perspective on what's going on in this country right now, as told to me by a black woman in her mid-40s. One of my sister's nurses, caretakers, and I were listening to and watching some of the coverage of the protest today. We both started crying. I hugged her, and she said, when Trump threatened military action last night, it was the first time she felt like the pleas of her community to stop the violence had actually been heard by the perpetrators of it, and that they were scared of people actually making change in this country. That from a black woman. Not to say that systemic racism will be stamped out immediately or anything like that. It takes generations to do it, and us white people have to be the ones to end it, since we, and I use we in the historical sense of whites holding blacks down as long as there's been history, have been the ones doing the oppressing. Thank you, Kyle. And I ran across something today. Our buddies Gary and Gaia out in the Great Northwest brought to my attention something that I wrote a couple of years ago. To the day, even. Let me see here. Trying to see if it was one year or 2 years. But anyway, you slice it. It was kind of prescient. I think it was 2 years ago. It was June the 2nd, 2018. And I wrote, Donald Trump, a meditation. Not bad for 2 years ago when you hear it. Donald Trump, a meditation. He is the nightmare the framers could not bear to contemplate. He is a blanket passed to Indians. He is the coliform bacteria in the Legion's wells. He is the flea aboard a rat aboard a Venetian merchant ship. He is gas at the Somme. He's a sweaty hug in Liberia. He is the coal dust hung in the air deep in the mines. He is the firestorm in Dresden. He is the mosquito thriving in the tropical night. He is the locked door in the burning factory. He is the smoldering bunker fire below decks of the Titanic. He is the spark on the Hindenburg. He is the locust in the wheat field. He is the stalker through London's greasy Victorian fog.
Most of all, though, he is happy to be all these things. For he is Trump. Two years ago to the day, a reference to Donald Trump as being the cause of a plague. And nowhere on earth had the words COVID been even uttered. Kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah, I should say so. But I found it kind of chilling. And so today, and in what is an exquisite day here in the hills, a bit of a dichotomy. There was a funeral downtown earlier today. According to my son and my wife, it was 2 days ago when I saw the ambulance show up at the back of the funeral home. And it was a huge funeral today. And it was a little odd because there were a whole bunch of classic cars put in the parking lot. Restored GTOs and Chevelles and Novas and Roadrunners and the like. And in speaking with Agnes back when her phone worked, she said it was for a sheriff's deputy. That he had answered a call on a domestic violence, and that when he showed up, the meth heads in question shot him in the face and shot him dead. Just another day in Meth, Virginia. That served to explain the considerable police presence that I'd seen in town for the last couple of days. And it got me thinking about what we do and don't want out of a police force. We want people who are willing to go into dangerous situations. Because who wants to deal with meth heads, right? And there are numerous acts of bravery and even kindness by members of law enforcement. We get what we've gotten for the last week, though, when they, like any other human group, are overtaken by a mob mentality, and coupled with that, a siege mentality. How many times have law enforcement officers gone free after murdering someone on the pretext that, and I quote, "I was in fear for my life"? The police are scared. They're all scared. We have created a culture in which we have subjected law enforcement to a near constant state of terror. How did we do that? Well, you can thank the National Ruble Association for that in large part. The reason the police are so damn scared is because this nation is so thoroughly awash in guns. And not just, you know, single-shot 22s or side-by-side 12-gauge double barrels, but firearms of that are capable of, for all intents and purposes, making war. And so, like that young deputy who showed up, only to have a meth head murder him. The cops are afraid of us. And by us, I mean largely white folks. Because the vast majority of firearms, especially the ones capable of making war, are owned by white people in America. This will create a sense of paranoia, and the constant fear becomes, not post-traumatic stress, but intra-traumatic stress disorder. These are by no means excuses. I've never been one to make excuses for the police. But if we're going to sort out what our police problem is, and we very clearly have one, then we have got to identify the things that create the problem. And one of the things that creates the problem is the siege mentality born of a notion that everyone is out to get them. No one wants to get pulled over for DUI. No one likes being pulled over for a speeding ticket. On the other hand, however, if you see someone who is bobbing and weaving down the road and likely to kill themselves or someone else, you feel a sense of relief when they get pulled over. Nobody wants to have a search warrant served on them. But, on the other hand, if someone breaks into your house and steals all your shit, it's good to have somebody there that will come and document what was stolen and maybe even check around and see if any of it can be recovered. This is the inherent conflict between the idea of law enforcement as public servant and law enforcement as paramilitary thugs. Police officers have been charged with aggravated assault in Atlanta, Georgia, as of today. An African-American couple were driving along. They had gone to get food when police stopped them and dragged the woman out of the car and smashed in the window on the driver's side where her boyfriend was. I saw this video. Maybe you have too. And the most striking thing about it is the little white girl in the car. Both cars are moving slowly. And the little white girl goes by and just waves and smiles, and they just let her go. And the African-American couple gets brutalized. But at least those cops have been charged. Hopefully will be convicted. And will be punished. and will never get to be police officers again because their services are simply not needed, no matter how much the head of the cop union there may piss and moan about how unfair it all is that they got charged with committing the crime, you know, that they committed on that everyone can see on video. But it is, it's a quandary. Stockton Larry pointing out in the chat room, the idea that since every man and his gun is needed for the common defense of the group, any one man's behavior short of murder must be tolerated, even including mild insanity in such serious crimes as rape. When the cop shot the unarmed perp, his buddies closed in with their Lager mentality, the circling of the wagons in Afrikaans, and made a thorough investigation of the facts impossible, intentionally misplacing evidence and confusing investigators. And that's the problem. That siege mentality, circle the wagons, subvert justice at all costs. And we are seeing now the outcome. Well, thank you, Kyle. Kyle says, I just want to thank you for talking about all this in such a calm manner and not being so quick to just demonize all cops as I and maybe too many of us often do. Thank you for being a voice of calm and reason in this hellscape, shitstorm, dystopian nightmare we're in. Well, I can't guarantee that I'm going to stay that way, Kyle, but as a kid, my grandmother had me memorize a poem by Rudyard Kipling, noted white supremacist in his own right. British, of course. A poem called If, that talks about keeping one's head when all about one, others are losing theirs. And filling a minute with 60 seconds run. Most of you are probably familiar with the piece. And something you might remember, my good friend Stefan Passmore was on the program a couple of weeks back. And he is a cool customer. And we were talking about such things, and he said, you know, what I tell everybody in moments of crisis and stress is that of all the things that might help in such a moment, the one thing that will not help in such a moment is panic. That panic never achieves any positive good. And I truer words have never been spoken. And Stockton Larry in the chat room pointing out, and this is something that I'd meant to talk about this evening. Anyway, come on, Bob, if George Floyd wasn't dead, could he be charged with felony murder since a death resulted while he was allegedly committing a felony? I don't know if Minnesota has felony murder still on its books. It would be interesting to find out. But there's a broader application here. I find it very difficult to listen or watch Brian Williams. I like Chris Hayes. I like Rachel. I like Lawrence. And most nights I just turn it off when we get to the Brian Williams part of the programming block. Because I simply find him not even so much uninteresting as uninspired. Seems very much to be going through the motions. But he and Eddie Glaude Jr. were talking last night. No, it was Lawrence and Eddie Glaude Jr. That's why I was still watching. About the three cops who have still not been charged in the death of Mr. George Floyd. And it got me to wondering, because felony murder is a legal concept that has been used to brutal ends all over this country. And felony murder, as a concept, says that if you are part of an incident in which a murder is committed, then you become chargeable for the murder as if you had done the killing yourself. And God alone knows how many people, probably mostly African-American men, have been sent to their deaths in various death chambers all over this country, but often in the South, whether it be a gas chamber, an electric chair, or a horizontal crucifixion. But why, if felony murder exists on the books in Minnesota, given the fact that Chauvin has been charged with third-degree murder, why have the other three not been charged with felony murder? That would, because once you prove the murder, their culpability, it's almost like strict liability. There's no defense to it. That's what makes it so unfair. Questions of knowledge or intent really don't come into play. It's just, you were there, it happened, you're guilty too. And the fact of the matter is, in so many of the instances in which it has been unfairly applied, the lynching of George Floyd seems to be an instance in which it would be appropriately applied. So it remains to be seen what Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison will do with this. Well, there it is. Murder in the second degree, subdivision 2, unintentional murders. Stephen, New York sent this along. Is this the Minnesota code? Whoever does either of the following is guilty of unintentional murder in the second degree and may be sentenced to imprisonment for not more than 40 years. Causes the death of a human being without intent to effect the death of any person while committing or attempting to commit a felony offense other than criminal sexual conduct in the first or second degree with force or violence or a drive-by shooting. How about that? So, again, why not? Hmm. Thanks. Thanks, Brother Deacon Asa. That's what makes it so unfair. You know what's unfair, Bob? You gooning on Brian Williams. There's a pretty man. He's a pretty man. Very pretty, pretty man. His hair was perfect. I bet if she's listening, Lady B knows me. It knows exactly what song that comes from. Flavio with a couple of points. One, police force is always contained in their ranks, an apparently irreducible assortment of thugs who are drawn to police work because it enables them to use violence legally. Two, the totality of the law enforcement response to these protests stands in stark contrast to what officers did during anti-lockdown demonstrations in which conservative protesters armed with guns stormed state capitals and walked on public roadways. That is to say, nothing. And really, that tells us quite possibly all we need to know. They stood there, virus-spewing maggots screaming in their faces, rioting before their very eyes, and did absolutely nothing. The thing is, though, I would add a word to what Flavio says. I would say American police forces always contain in their ranks an apparently irreducible assortment of thugs. Because somehow or another, police in civilized countries don't behave like American cops. At all. There is, in fact, a European model that does not involve shoot first and ask questions later. And I would submit to you that the reason we have the violence we have in police forces today, and remember, we found this came up in the discussion after the lynching of Michael Brown in Ferguson in 2014, 6 years ago. Those police were operating not from a European model of law enforcement, but from the Israeli model. American police have been taught to treat American citizens, especially American citizens protesting, the same way that Israeli law enforcement treats Palestinians. So when you see them, when you see cops rioting and breaking skulls and kicking people on the ground, doing drive-by pepper sprays, what you're seeing is police essentially treating American citizens as second-class citizens, third-class citizens, the way that the Israelis treat the Palestinians. And it's hard to avoid that conclusion. Police in America behave the way police in America behave because police in America have chosen to behave that way. They're not forced to it. No one has compelled the NYPD, the Louisville PD, the Minneapolis PD, the Atlanta PD, and all the other police departments whose police are rioting. No one has forced them to do that. No one has compelled them to do that. They have chosen to do that. Plain and simple. David in South Carolina, sharing a tweet with me from James LaPorta. 700 members of the 82nd Airborne are at Joint Base Andrews in Fort Belvoir, Virginia. 1,400 more soldiers are ready to be mobilized within an hour. Soldiers are armed and have riot gear. They were also issued bayonets. Standard issue, but some suggest it could be inflammatory. And so they're going to do it. Apparently, they're going to deploy the troops to the streets of Washington, D.C., and then we will see just exactly how much American citizens are willing to tolerate, are willing to take. Lee in New York says, Douglas Adams got it. Let's see, it's a clip.
Now look, buddy, you're not dealing with any dumb two-bit trigger-pumping morons with low hairlines, little piggy eyes, and no conversation. We're a couple of caring, intelligent guys you'd probably really like if you met us socially. I don't go around gratuitously shooting people and then brag about it in seedy Space Rangers bars. I go around gratuitously shooting people, and then I agonize about it afterwards to my girlfriend.
And I write novels.
Yeah, he writes them in crayon.
Though I haven't had any published yet. So I better warn you, I'm in a mean mood.
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's not easy being a cop. Not exactly what I said to deserve it, but, from Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx, I get bingo, ding, 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 bingo, ding, ding, ding. Maybe it's because, maybe it's the line about we choose to have the police we have. The three other cops, Jeremy in Vermont, and thank you for getting us started this evening, Jeremy. Jeremy in Vermont says, it's simple because they're white, Bob. They have to get the non-punishment right. Non-punishment. Well, one of them is Hmong. Asian. Southeast Asian. Steve says, we cannot reform police. We must fire all police officers, burn down the police buildings, build any law enforcement from scratch. Highly regulated with independent citizen boards that oversee and discipline individual cops and entire departments, a separate and parallel prosecutorial function that only prosecutes police. That's what I've been hammering on. The police union would pay any restitution or settlement monies for police misconduct. Yeah, I'm not sure. Why do cops need a union? I mean, I know why a carpenter needs a union. I know why an electrician needs a union. I know why a coal miner needs a union. But I'm damned if I can figure out why a cop needs a union. And by the way, just last month was the 100th anniversary of the Matewan Massacre. When private law enforcement, gun thugs, were sent by the coal companies into coal camps to evict miners for having the temerity to want to be treated like human beings. Felony murder, Jack in Shreveport says, maybe cops have some kind of immunity provision. They have qualified immunity, but not for overt violations of the criminal code. Also, backup cops, extra cops that come to the scene after the first cops aren't even put on the main police report that's filed. Maybe there's some immunity disconnection from liability related to that. And I remember hearing that cops aren't even required to render assistance to people, citizens they're supposed to protect and serve. They can just stand there and let you be harmed. That's something I've seen tweeted before, probably a few years ago. Well, that's why, you know, that's one of the that's one of the exceptions, not an exception, but a police officer is empowered to execute a warrantless arrest if that officer directly witnesses the commission of a felony. which is why I have beaten and beaten and beaten on the notion that Donald J. Trump is above the law, because even if he was witnessed in the commission of a felony, say, oh, let's say yesterday when he was waddling over to St. John's Episcopal, let's say he had pulled out a pistol and started gunning down protesters, which I'm sure he'd like to do. Not a single one of the law enforcement personnel around him would have had the power of arrest. They would have had to let him stand and blaze, because he can't be arrested. He cannot be charged with a crime, according to that god-awful Department of Justice guidance from the Nixon era. Jude, with an observation, subject line, coronavirus. Yes, the two-year-ago reference mark you just mentioned with that little poem I wrote is an odd door to our current reality. Trump and his ilk are a spiritual virus accelerating at a speed not so unlike this coronavirus. Take care, dear ones, says Jude, and you do the same, Jude. And like I said last night, how interesting that the mortality rate, the lethality rate of metal cord rubber bullets kills at about the same rate the coronavirus does. It's just an interesting little world we're in, isn't it? On a question from Lou earlier, I suppose I can always consult Wikipedia, but one, what rights do we have to peacefully protest? And two, if we really have such a right, to what extent can they be reasonably restricted? Well, the right to protest is no different from, it is identical to, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. And that's straight up First Amendment. So the right is real. It can, however, be restricted. It can be limited. Lou asks, can I just block off a street because I want to protest? What can any level of government do to restrict me? I'm very sympathetic to the peaceful protesters who were tear gassed 25 minutes before the curfew went into effect so that Trump could have his appalling and empty photo op in front of a church holding a Bible upside down, just as I predicted, and his conduct is inexcusable. Can they only enforce the curfew at the time of the curfew goes into effect, or can they anticipatorily enforce it? It seems to me that if the government wanted to restrict that peaceful and legal protest, they did not do it the lawful way. No, they did not. There is a legal concept in First Amendment law called prior restraint. And what that means is that the law prohibits certain conduct before the conduct can even happen. The classic example is that it is illegal to yell fire in a crowded theater. Whether there's a fire or not. Another good example of a prior restraint on speech is that it is illegal to advocate harm to political office holders. So that, I mean, we have specific statutes about suggesting harm to the life of the President of the United States. And the humorless guys in the black suits with the white shirts and the skinny black ties and the wires running into their ears take that very seriously. A government can say, if you wish to protest, you must have a permit. I've been involved in protests that involved getting the permit. And it seems at first blush to be antithetical to the idea of free speech, but it is an acceptable prior restraint, an acceptable limitation insofar as such events are or have the potential to be disruptive to the greater mass of society. What we're seeing now is an unpermitted protest that is absolutely organic in nature. No matter how often right-wing white supremacists and anti-Semites shriek, George Soros! George Soros! No, they aren't being paid to protest. But that's what they're always, that's what the claim always is, because the white wing in this country cannot cope with the idea that maybe they're not correct, that maybe the rest of the country isn't as bigoted and racist as they are. And sometimes they push back at it by alleging that protesters are paid. Other times they just try to hide from it. For instance, Casey Hunt today was in the halls of the Senate, and she asked 17 Republican senators what they thought of Trump's behavior yesterday. And one of the chief answers was, "I'm late for lunch." Another one was, "I didn't see it. I'm not that familiar with the issue." Yeah. Somewhere between few and none said that his behavior was disruptive, destructive, and reprehensible. At Ron and Raleigh reminding us, Douglas Adams had it right when he wrote, "Don't panic. P.S. Remember, the more guns we have, the safer we all are." Yeah, funny how it turns out not to be true. Police took down a guy in Boise, Idaho at a protest last night who fired a gun. Another white man in North Carolina drew a firearm at a protest there. Police took him into arrest. He didn't fire his gun. He just waved it around. You know, just like all those white people in Michigan and Kentucky and Ohio. Man. And North Carolina. Interesting what constitutes brandishing. It seems to be, the concept seems to be tied to how the cop feels about the brandishing. In example A, the police officer did not appreciate the brandishing of a pistol during a protest in North Carolina. On the other hand, other police were perfectly at ease with a bunch of puzzle-gutted, gun-toting maniacs who were saying that it was time for people to start dying because wearing a goddamn face mask is tyranny. Go figure. So with that, having been said, Todd said he had a question for me. Let's find out what it was. Hey, Todd.
Todd.
What's up?
All right. So I was listening last night, and I really appreciate the way you allowed Arnold to speak his piece, you know. And I like the fact that you covered, you know, the law enforcement folk, obviously, they're human beings. And I think maybe people don't think about it or they forget about it. And maybe that's getting lost. Because as human beings, as you so aptly displayed verbally, I'll try to speed up my speech here. You know, my rule is a real thing. And this is why if you've ever have any teenagers, worked with teenagers, it's really bad with teenagers because they get crazy. They really, like, they can do shit that will fuck the rest of their life up if they're not careful.
Right, and, because among other things, their primate brains are not fully developed yet.
Exactly.
Remember, we know now that the human brain does not reach full development until about age 28.
Right. Which is why heavy cannabis use is not a good thing for a growing mind, as much as, you know, we like it and all that. But right. So, and even for adults, because you deal with people one-on-one, and it's different. And all black people know this. We all hear this. Well, you know, you get to know somebody at work, and they'll say, well, you're different. And then that's when black people usually pause and think, okay, well, you just don't know enough black people. You know, there are a lot of black people like me or whoever. But that's not, you know, that's just part of what I was saying. In that, you know, there are good people who are cops and want to be cops. And the problem, I say this after a lot of contemplation and experience. And remember, I faced 13 felonies at one point. All at once. You know,
Jesus.
I've been to big court. I learned a lot about the law because I never knew I was wealthy. You know what my lawyer said to me? They said, well, it won't be like losing a kidney. I've never been the same after going through that. But I learned a hell of a lot. You know, that's why sometimes when I talk about law stuff, you know, I talk about how discovery, you know, I went out, I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but in a nolle pro se, you know, so, but I knew, but I still had to spend that money.
Yeah.
And, right, most people don't have resources. So, but what I'm saying is that all cops are not bad. Bad cops do good things and good cops do bad things. And there's one thing that everyone needs to understand is that just like the family is a gang, the police are a gang. And the reason that's important, one of the reasons, and I'm only spending 1 minute on this, is that it helps to explain the behavior. If you have someone who's a drunk or a drug addict or mentally ill or something that would make you know, draw negative attention to your family, you hide it. Or something, you know, a lot of people do. And it's the same thing with the police, because they should be doing what they tell everybody else to do. They come into certain neighborhoods and they say, well, you know, it's just a few of you that are doing all this crime, and we know you know who they are, and we just really need confidential informants, and we need people to, you know, just give us information. They should follow their own advice, because the main perpetrator in terms of Floyd, George Floyd, had 18 complaints against him. See, 18 of anything when you're dealing with human beings is probably a lot in terms of anything. But that means the citizens were doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
What was not working was the system. See, so they have to do it themselves. They have to do it. And it hurts. This is my point. This is the question. Why is it that we have a hardcore section of our population in this country that really, honest to God, believes that the police are right all the time, and they do not lie, and they uphold the law, and that's that? Now, that's my experience. Now, you know, I look different than you, and I don't live where you live, but is that your experience? I'm curious.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, look, cops lie, and cops get away with lying because of the sympathy that is engendered in the minds of people like jurors by that uniform.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, for instance, and maybe they do. Criminal defense attorneys don't throw a fit and insist that police officers not be allowed to testify while wearing their uniform. It's kind of like, you remember back in the late 80s when Ollie North, who wasn't even active duty anymore, showed up in his Marine greens
every day
to testify. Yeah, when he testified in front of Congress, he did that to project the power of that uniform and to engender the sympathy that comes with it. Plain and simple.
Well, you brought up a very good point, and that's something that needs to be addressed along with some other things, most likely. But see, this is why it's difficult, and it appears that we have a lot of police now. They're coming back because we've been at war so long, and when they take a test, a civil service test to be a policeman, you know, you get extra points for being a veteran. But
counts towards it counts towards your retirement too.
It counts towards your retirement. There's a lot of incentive to be a cop. And if you already have malice in your heart, you know, it's we have to break that culture, but somehow we have to explain to America that just because people are police doesn't mean that they are upholding the law and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And the reason I bring it up in this way is that, fine, we're talking about people being murdered and killed unnecessarily. But you see, every day when law enforcement, when they bear false witness in court and they don't tell the truth on police reports, see, that follows people around. And we all do it. You say, oh, the police report said, that's the law enforcement version of what happened. There's no one editing that. That's what they say. That doesn't mean it's true. But you see, they can kill you quickly with a bullet, or they can kill you slowly economically. And they understand that. They absolutely understand that. And I think there's evidence to confirm a tag and release type mentality. In terms, you know, you get as many black males and tag them with a record, and they won't be shit. You reduce their earning income. Then they can't have a family, or they'll resort to more crime, any crime, you know, to sustain themselves. So there's a philosophy behind that. And that's something that folks need to think about. And the other thing with this, we look at these murders. Now what, it's almost so much going on. Just like on NPR the other day, 2 days ago, or yesterday, I can't, all these days are running together. The bird watching incident happened the same day. Did you mention that? It happened the same day.
Yeah.
And that woman could have had that man killed quickly. And that's another example why you cannot believe just because somebody said they touched me or they did this or they did that. That don't mean shit. This is why, and that, once again, that Joe, you know what? I don't care if Joe Biden stuck his finger in that woman. I really don't.
Oh, don't go there. I'm going to get hate mail. Don't do that.
I don't care. There'll never be any evidence. Listen, there'll never be any evidence. It doesn't matter now. This is not the first time that man has run for president. Where is this coming from? I'm not saying she hadn't been abused. I'm not saying he didn't do it. But what I'm saying is that it's a he say, she say thing at this point. So what's the point? And plus the fact there are no rules.
Right. Just the same way as Emmett Till. And his accuser was, she said, he said. Only he didn't get to said because he got all dead.
He got all dead. And
she entirely fabricated an allegation of sexual misconduct. Actually, less than sexual misconduct. And it got Emmett Till killed.
It got him killed. And that was in the 50s. Now we
And within the last 365 days, a woman accepted five figures of money to tell a lie and say that Anthony Fauci raped her. She took money to do that. She admitted it. She has tape of the men, Jacob Wohl and Jack Berkheimer, She has tape of them admitting they paid her to tell that lie.
That's disgusting. And it's disgusting for human beings because it's not just women and men. I mean, women.
And
do
what?
The same
and I'm going to leave this story behind in a second, but I'm gonna at least give myself credit for something here. I said that you will know all that you need to know about that, about those allegations, when the Trump campaign or when she appears on behalf of the Trump campaign. And lo and behold, a couple of weeks ago, within the last 2 weeks, there was confirmation by the Trump campaign that they were in talks with Tara Reid.
See? And, you know, there's a lot of in-between. There's a lot of in-between because there's all types of things that can happen. You know, people are mentally unstable. It happens. You know, and I'm not trying to go down that road of that crazy, you know, da-da-da-da. But that is true. That happens. There's a reason that is out there in that type of vernacular because it does happen.
And so just to be clear, to a certain extent, the system did work. Because she was heard. She was listened to. Mm-hmm. Her allegations were vetted. Sometimes things are not what they appear to be. And her allegations did not withstand scrutiny. But that has not, however, slowed the pace of people picking up and running with allegations that have been amplified by troll farms and bot farms in Mother Russia. I want to get back to the question of good versus bad policing, though.
Mm-hmm.
I have a clip here,
and I want to pick up on the troll thing and what's going on too on the street. But please go ahead.
This goes back to a clip that Ralphs sent to me yesterday. And I didn't have a chance to air check it before I ran it, but it turns out that it fits perfectly in this moment. This is apparently a police officer from Indianapolis who used TikTok. And by the way, TikTok has become a really popular thing, and TikTok creeps me out because it's owned and run by the Chinese government. Because any business in China is essentially partially owned by the Chinese government. And TikTok is Chinese. So that means that your data, if you're posting to TikTok, your data is anything but secure.
That's a whole lot of data, too, because that's behavioral data, like what you feel, what the American psyche is like. In addition
shit tons of metadata. But anyway, so this Indianapolis police officer posted this to TikTok. See what he has to say.
Hey, if you're a good, honest police officer, keep scrolling. Keep scrolling. Hey, now that we got all the dirty cops and the racist cops here, take your fucking shit off, turn it in, and go the fuck home, because you're going to get the rest of us that do this job for the right reasons killed. And honestly, you're a disgrace to the uniform.
Brief and to the point. And true.
Well,
because one bad apple does spoil the barrel. That's how fermentation works.
That's how it works. And you see, I'm really having trouble with some of my associates trying to explain this. It's like you can support law enforcement, but you know I'd rather have no policing than bad policing. And they don't understand because here's a for instance. I had to call the police since I've been living here. I had to call one time, and I just told them, okay, come to my house instead of me going down to the station. And do you understand the first thing they did was ask me for my ID, and they ran my ID for warrants. Now, if I were a slim 28-year-old blonde woman with a large chest and a juicy booty, do you think they would run my license for warrants?
Hey, that's a difficult question to answer. I don't know. Maybe that.
Maybe I was posed in the wrong way. Well, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. I don't think that's not how things are done.
Right. But, I mean, look at
Caucasian friends, and they tell me what happens when they call the cops. I'm sorry.
That's okay. All of this stuff kind of runs together. For instance, the Republican nominee for Senate in Oregon, a lunatic by the name of Joe Ray Perkins. She's a big follower of QAnon.
Oh, okay.
On the night of May the 31st, she posted a video on Facebook, and she wanted people to know how she would handle the civil unrest. Wait for it. Yeah. I mean, this is the GOP nominee for Senate in Oregon.
Lord, these people have no sense of morality, of what is right and what is wrong, Lord God. Not the ones that are causing this mayhem, Lord God, this Antifa, Father
God. She's praying.
Shut down George Soros, Lord God. End his reign of terror, Lord God. We know that he is funding this. Lord, we say strip that money, strip that money, strip that money. If there is a way, Father God, that President Trump's administration can block him from being able to spend any more money, Lord God, then allow that to happen. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we lift up this nation in Jesus' name. Clearly, we need some strong leadership in our states. That is clear. Oregon needs Governor Brown to call out the National Guard. The National Guard is here. They need to be deployed. They need to be activated. Ashland, Klamath Falls, Eugene, Salem, Portland. Where else are they going to pop up? Bend? I will bet you guys that Bend is going to happen next. Bend will be next. Watch, because Bend is a large town. Bend and Pendleton. They are deploying all over the place. This is the army. This is the army that Obama put together a few years ago. Wasn't there an army that he put together a few years ago?
No.
Just read about it.
Yeah, the protesters are the Obama army that George Soros is paying. I mean, this woman should probably be taken in for, at least a 20-day eval, and after that, medicated significantly. Because she's paranoid delusional.
She doesn't sound right, number one. She sounds like she's over-medicated or something.
Under. But the other thing is, whenever you hear one of these religious wackos praying and using the term Father God, you know the quantity with which you are dealing.
Well, is she part of that Northern California, Southern Oregon area type? Well, I forget what
it's
called.
If there's a right wing cause, she's in it up to her eyebrows. Whether it's QAnon or the Obama tan suit army, you remember the origins of the Obama army?
It was a
video made by some young black men wearing fatigues who did a rap about how they respected Obama and wanted to have a future for themselves. And all the white wingers from sea to shining sea and across the fruited plain said, Obama's coming, Obama's making a Negro army, and we're all going to be sent to the FEMA re-education camps by the UN troops with their blue helmets.
No, General Grant organized them 110 years ago. No, more than that.
And then of course, there's the geographical element to all of this. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, Bend, Oregon is a large city. What rock did this lunatic crawl out from under? Where on earth does 97,000 people qualify as a large city? Shake my head. Well, I mean, there is an answer to that.
Bend, Oregon is a small ski resort town in the middle. It's almost geographically right in the middle of Oregon. I only know because I had to go there for work, and it was great. I mean, they had, oh, my God. I mean, it's not great in terms of, it's real right wing, but they were nice to me, but I was in there and out. But Bachelor Mountain, it's right there at Bachelor Mountain, right in the center of the state. They have, as a matter of fact, anyway, there's some good brew pubs there, but, man, that's hardcore there. You know, well, Oregon's always been a, matter of fact, you couldn't even be black in Oregon. That's always been a kind of a white supremacist haven. But you know, it's so funny. It's so funny. Right before you took my call, you went into the Soros-Clinton thing, and I caught probably the last 10 or 15 minutes of that Rush Limbaugh with the urban DJs on the radio the other day, live. That's the only part I caught live, and then you started talking about it. I didn't hear the whole thing. But one thing I noticed, what is this shit with Soros and Clinton? I hear only people I hear talking about Soros and Clinton are the people on the right wing. How often do we talk about that shit?
Well, the reason they talk about George Soros is because a component of white wingery is anti-Semitism, and George Soros is the modern version of braying about the Rothschilds and the protocols of the learned elders of Zion.
Mr. Kincaid, you would not believe that the stuff that they blame on that. If he were that powerful, we wouldn't need God.
Wait a minute.
If he could do all the shit that they claim he does.
That gets you, cowbell. If George Soros was that powerful, we wouldn't need God.
The way they explain it, and the Hillary, who, I don't need, that woman's name never comes out of my mouth. I mean, come on. That's a done deal. There's nothing left to talk about. We're in interesting times, but the way you brought that up, because it's really a popular meme, and it's just none of this shit they say is rooted in fact. These people are just out there, and
it's rooted in it's rooted in hate, it's rooted in ignorance, it's rooted in bigotry, it's rooted in xenophobia, it's rooted in paranoia. In other words, it's Republicanism.
It's Republicanism. And they have a person they can follow who's definitely, you know, he's mentally ill and he's stupid. But, you know, he does have that vein of malevolence and evil streak. Just like you said, it's the truth.
Well, language.
Everything else, he's evil.
Language matters. And I got to thinking that, you know, how we talked about how he spent the night shitting his pants in the bunker. Mommy. Where's melanoma? Where's little boron? I don't care. Well, instead of calling it the bunker, why don't we refer to Donald Trump going to his spider hole? Remember when we caught that man who was as bad as Hitler? Remember when they said that, Saddam Hussein?
I do.
He was as bad,
yeah, he was down in the spider
bad as Hitler, and we found him in his spider hole.
That has a lot of connotations to it.
So anytime we talk about Donald Trump going, you know, into hiding, I will refer to it as Donald Trump having gone to his spider hole.
Well, keep that up, and maybe people will connect the dots with that.
I mean, Steve in New York just reminded me of something, Todd. Do you remember the message scrawled on the back windshield of the good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist amosexual Christian Republican? You remember Obama is the Antichrist?
Yes.
I for one welcome our insect overlords. I mean, this is the thing is, without them, the Republican Party dries up and blows away like a like an empty seed husk in the wind in the fall. And now we're into geography, the geography portion of the program now. Jeremy in Vermont telling me, subject line, Brother Deacon Asa, Burlington, Vermont has a population of maybe 100,000 when and if all the college students are here. Otherwise, it's close to 70K, and we're the largest city in the state.
Stop telling people how to count per capita, Bob.
Well, there's all kinds of different per capitas, Todd.
That's true. But... Yeah, oh, that was funny. That was really funny.
He said that. There's all kinds of different per capitas.
Well, that's, you know, this guy is really out of control. When he learns a new word, you always know when he learns a new word. It's just unbelievable.
I have the best words.
Remember, he said that. I have the best words.
He said that. He said, this is the thing. This is what I don't get. People who disbelieve, see, there's a lot, you can be learning disabled, mentally ill, stupid, and malevolent all at the same time. And he's all of the above. He's the gold mine. They have to really, like, when he dies, they have to really, like, get the guillotine out, which is what's used. Sever his head, crack the cranium, and then you take wafer like, you know, samples of his brain. Because I'm convinced, I'm really convinced. I've said this to my friends and people who know, but you know, there is serious damage to his limbic system, and it's very evident. Well, number one, he's impulsive. Number two, he doesn't think things through. He doesn't engage his prefrontal lobe. Everything is a reaction to him. You know, just like they say, well, it's everything's in front of him now. He just, it's not there. He doesn't possess the neural pathways to elicit a response that we call empathy, nor does he have the neural pathways that allow him to engage in higher thinking. And this is what I would like to see. This is, and I'm not being funny. I'm really not being funny. You know, we've learned more about cognitive behavioral therapy lately, and a lot of times, It's a lot like mindfulness in a way. And I would like to have someone teach him, you know, don't hit him over the head with it because that won't work, but teach him what mindfulness is and reflectiveness. You know, what, how do you feel? How was your performance today? What did you do that was good? Just give him a piece of paper, you know, the T-bar, good, bad. What did I do good? What did I do bad? Do that for a week, and then maybe he'll ask a question like, well, what was this about? Well, what do you think? And then you know, slowly try to explain to him what mindfulness is. And if you could get him to understand what that means, and if he could engage in mindfulness for like 3 minutes a day for as long as, you know, it'll be a while.
That's 2 minutes and 59 seconds more than he's capable of.
Well, and he would, you know, this would break this motherfucker down. That's what I'm saying. He would understand what a miserable, disgusting human being he really is. If it would work. And most likely it wouldn't work because he's too old and too crystalline in his mindset. It, he's crusty now. But I really think that we're in for something really bad soon.
We've been in a constitutional crisis since January the 20th, 2017. And I'm one of the first to have said that. But it's happening as we speak, that something bad. Curfew is at 7 p.m. in Washington, D.C. And,
That's kind of early.
And I'm looking, light out. I'm looking at tweets from people reporting from the streets of D.C. One individual saying, the view coming down 14th Street, Washington, D.C., be safe at the protests after curfew, everyone. And it's a line as far as the eye can see of Humvees and troop carriers.
Oh, God.
And remember, they've been issued bayonets. K Street Northwest, another parade of military personnel carriers. On the other hand, there is a streaming flood tide of humanity marching toward the White House right now.
That's what I was going to ask you, because this is the second part to the original question I had. Now, why do people think, why do the non-believers, the people who think the police do the right thing all the time and they're just great people, which are a lot, especially in the South, I'm telling you, it's really unbelievable. But why do they think this many people would be putting themselves at risk if there were not something to it? You see, I've had to try to delicately explain this to some people who don't get it, because the police are there. They work for them. You know, they work for their interest. They don't work for my interest, especially down here. You know,
a journalist by the name of Dan Friedman took a photograph of some kind of law enforcement. Of course, they're dressed like soldiers. They're militarized.
Right.
Vests right. And canisters hanging all over their bodies. They've got their gas masks hung from their vests. They're wearing combat helmets. And mm-hmm. he said, I asked who they're with. These guys say only that they're with the Department of Justice. Those are Barr's thugs. By the way, it was Barr.
That's terrible.
It was Barr who ordered the chemical weapon attack on peaceful protesters last night, right before Nitwit Nero's big waddle.
Wait a minute. How does that differ from these banana republics, where they had the generals just out in the street and just round up infidels?
I mean, there are people emerging onto the streets of D.C. to see the same kind of vehicles that used to range around Baghdad 17 years ago.
All right. This is question two, part B. Now,
and just while we're at it, I'm just trying to put the information.
No, and you're scaring the hell out of me. I mean, this will be shit
today.
Tonight.
Today, Mitch McConnell killed a resolution in the Senate condemning the use of chemical weapons and rubber bullets on peaceful protesters. He would not. He killed it.
Oh, that was the other thing I forgot about. Wait a minute. So what are my kind neighbors thinking about when they don't get it that they're shooting, that the police are shooting at the press? They're shooting at the motherfucking press?
Yeah. Maiming. Not just shooting at, maiming the press.
Didn't a woman lose her eyesight?
Yes.
How was that appropriate?
How was it even allowed? Never. It wasn't appropriate. And,
okay.
You know, Brother Deacon Asa says, admit it already, y'all live in a military dictatorship. Putin's velvet revolution is here.
You see, the coup was like, what was that, 2 months ago, and now they're enacting.
Yeah, they've got the bit in their teeth, and they're running hard.
They're daring us to, you know, okay. All right, so this is the other thing I'm just wondering about. I'm just throwing this out here. We know Russia meddled. We know they exploited the fissures in our society. So what if they did have either actual physical cells on the ground, or they're just fanning and ginning up people who are sympathetic to that type of thing? Because we've seen the people, and think about it, we've seen the people just walk casually by and break windows with a whole bunch, you know, the white people, with a whole bunch of black folks behind them, and they just run in and loot because the window's open. But the white folk, they just keep walking on. You know, the agitators.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the video from the AutoZone incident in Minneapolis, the black kid comes up and says, "Who are you and what are you doing?" He doesn't try to go into the AutoZone. He and the person shooting the video followed the asshole with the hammer, the black clothes, the gas mask, and the umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had everything but the Guy Fawkes mask. There is, I'm looking now, they're showing video from Boston. There is a multitude gathered in Boston. Last night in D.C., one man on Swan Street opened his, the cops were trying to kettle protesters. You know, where they limit their ability to escape and get them all into
corral them
right. And then can do their dirty business. One man opened his home to 70 young people.
Hmm.
And charged their phones, used milk to wash away the tear gas. When they ran out, neighbors passed milk jugs across the fences. The cops even threw a tear gas grenade into the home.
Oh, man, you kidding me?
But he protected those 70 people until sunup so that they could go out and not be arrested. And it infuriated the police.
Oh, okay. How close are we to like 68?
Oh, we're past. We're past it. We're past it.
Okay.
Because see, in 1968, when Martin Luther King was assassinated, you had people like Bobby Kennedy appealing for calm. It was in Indianapolis where he spoke. Those voices really aren't there anymore. And in fact, as I heard someone pointing out today, you know, Donald Trump cannot appeal for calm. All Donald Trump can do, Donald Trump is gasoline poured on a flame. You got to understand, he wants this. He thrives on chaos. He thrives on agony. He thrives on fear.
That's because that's how he lives. That's his mind.
That's what motivates him. And so a multitude in Boston, a multitude marching in Washington, D.C. People gathered in Los Angeles with their arms in the air saying, hands up, don't shoot.
I'm concerned. You know, we used to play around a year, not even that long ago, not even a year, right before the COVID, play around with the idea that we wouldn't have an election. And I voted in the primary today. I did the early absentee, whatever I had to do. I made sure my shit was in. And it's difficult. It's cumbersome. It's a pain in the ass. But what is going to happen when this shit gets really cumbersome?
What's going to happen when whatever that percentage is of the American military and law enforcement begin shooting into crowds? See, it's already getting hot. In D.C., 9-10 minutes ago, it was reported that the protest has been peaceful. Not a single thing has been thrown at the cops, but the cops shot first, firing pepper spray through the fence.
Okay, so we know what they're up to now. That's some fuck up shit.
Massive protest groups have formed. Our buddy Mark tells us in New York, in Florida, in New York City, in Philadelphia, in Houston, in Los Angeles, and we're talking about Iraq war protest size crowds, tens of thousands of people.
People are fed up. People are fed up. It's too much. It's a confluence of a lot of things, I think. Maybe not a lot. Let me stop being hyperbolic. I don't know. This is just too much. This is the worst possible. This is the worst possible.
It would be jarring and shocking to see a crowd, see crowds like this under any circumstance. But what I haven't mentioned, and I have a duty to mention, is that these are people who are engaging in no social distancing whatsoever. They are crammed in together. And there's every likelihood in the world that they're going to go home and give COVID to grandma, grandpa, mom, dad. And the funerals coming from this will be breathtaking. I think I may have mentioned it the other night, but we had... I found a list, and our buddy Ron in the finally in the far finally thawed north brought this to my attention. Again, these are pneumonia deaths in three states: Florida, Texas, and Georgia. These are pneumonia deaths over the course of 5 years. In the time span of February to May. In February to May of 2015, Florida reported 919 pneumonia deaths. And the numbers stay for that time period in the 900 range through 2016, 2017, and 2018. That you realize, and you know far better than I what that means in terms
beautiful
of statistical
regularity. Yeah, beautiful regularity.
Yeah, and statistical relevance out the gazoo.
Right.
Pneumonia deaths reported from February to May in Florida in 2020, 4,259. Let's do Texas, the same time period. 2015, 1,067, and it stays in roughly that range between 900 and 1,067 all the way up to 2018. February to May 2020 in Texas, pneumonia deaths 4,217. Same thing for Georgia. 504, 499, 487, 474. Beautiful regularity, as you put it. 2020, 1,368. So what they're doing is these maggot governors are trying to hide the coronavirus from their own citizenry. And they are and deliberately not diagnosing coronavirus deaths.
See? Because they have control over the state departments of health, and they can tell them how to categorize them. Oh. That's a kick. Those numbers that you just cited. wow. I'm speechless. I mean.
And this is going to seem trivial, but this is the depth and breadth of where it's gone. I just got a note. The factory that makes Kaneka sausage down in Evergreen, Alabama. It's closed. Because they don't have enough workers to make it because of the coronavirus.
Okay.
So so anybody who can get Kaneka, if you want to eat Kaneka anytime in the near future, buy it now.
Buy it now, freeze it. I'm glad you told me that.
I mean, like I said, it's trivial. It's trivial as hell. But it must be remembered, this pandemic is still on us in a big, big way, and that's why I was talking about last night, Todd. It has been weaponized. When those assholes went to those state houses with their fucking guns, they were deliberately weaponizing the coronavirus so that it would burn hotter and harder because they knew who it would burn. Oh, and by the way, as to your analysis of psychopaths, a little bit of pushback from Steve in Georgia Stan. Tell Todd I appreciate his intent. However, I've been studying psychopathic behavior, and they typically are mindful of their behavior. The caveat is they usually don't care about anyone or the fallout resulting from their behavior. And you know,
does he mean psychopath or sociopath?
Well, he says psychopath. Okay. And that's in part the reason, Todd, that I think we're not talking about psychopathology or sociopathology. Mm-hmm. I think we're talking about straight up mental damage. We're talking about an intellectual disability he has had since birth, and which is becoming worse by the day. David in South Carolina, Stan, telling me that the Army has sent Black Hawk helicopter squadrons to at least 5 major cities in the United States.
Okay, so they really want to suppress this, and they're not caring. You see, this is all the makings. We're here. We are the Banana Republic. We got the Attorney General. We got the this is crazy. And they're not. See, this is what I don't like. Instead of all this heavy-handed stuff, whatever happened to, wow, this officer had 18 complaints against him. In the same week, we had a no-knock murder. I mean, if somebody busts in my house, I'm going to kill him. I'm sorry. I didn't invite you over.
Well, she squeezed off one round, and the 3 cops, who, by the way, were plainclothes.
And that's what I mean. I didn't say that part. That's what, right. They were not uniform, and they don't announce themselves as law enforcement. They just come in. So what do you expect?
And
everybody
again,
has guns in the South.
And again, part of that is paranoia, because otherwise they would have stopped before they busted through the door and said, let's make sure. Okay, checklist. Have we got the right address? Hey, shit, we don't have the right address. Checklist. Let's radio back to the station and see if this fucker's already in custody. Is he already in custody? Well, as a matter of fact, he is. Fuck. Dude they were looking for was already in custody. They were at the wrong address. And Breonna Taylor was an EMT who had been on the front lines dealing with the coronavirus in Louisville. And as sure as God made little green apples and you eat too many, you'll get the runs, they murdered her in her bed because she was trying to defend against a home invasion. And they have not been charged, and one of them, at least, is on vacation in Florida where his daughter is sending out bikini pics and talking about Blue Lives Matter.
But you know who was charged, right? It was her paramour, the guy that was in the apartment with her. For defending her. He's been charged. Oh, and that brings me to another thing. This is quite important, I think, in light of Philando Castile. You see, remember, when you get that concealed carry permit, you have more power than the average citizen. Because just like the police, all you have to do is say, I felt threatened.
Oh, and remember, the same guy who, the same lawyer who got Philando Castile's killer off is representing Chauvin.
I didn't know that.
For fucking free. Well, I mean, he's getting paid. It's just that Chauvin's not having to pay anything.
I had no idea.
Tell me any other class or type of worker in America who, if they commit a crime, don't have to pay for their own lawyer. Even OJ had to pay for his own lawyer. Harvey Weinstein had to pay for his own lawyer. Jeffrey Epstein had to pay for his own lawyer. But a man,
Bob, we do not hate
but a man murders an incapacitated individual in broad daylight in front of the entire world. And he's got a corrupt organization there that's going to pay for his lawyer. Hell, there's probably a fund there to pay his goddamn mortgage and everything else while during the pendency of the action. Because remember, the head of that cop union that said that George Floyd was a career criminal and a dangerous man. He says that Chauvin and the other three cops were deprived of their jobs without due process.
Well, he's feeding off the financial teat just like Kavanaugh.
Good observation.
Thank you for allowing me to ask a few questions, and I appreciate your insight.
And Steve in New York says, "Oh dear, dear Todd, this is not about suppression. They want blood in the streets."
I hope you're not right, Steve. Have you been listening to Washington Journal lately?
No, that's Steve from Georgistan that you're talking to in that regard.
So that's a yes. Wow. Well, I don't know what is going to become of this country. I really don't. What do these people think the alternative is going to be? You know, this whole thing, the rules are for everyone else. They don't have to follow the rules. They want a disruptor. Okay, but it's not following the Constitution. But that's what I want. And they're like, okay.
Well, here it is, 7:07 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I've tried to stop the time checks in the program. That's just an old radio habit. But it doesn't make sense in terms of a podcast. But just in terms of what we're dealing with in real time, we are 7 minutes right past curfew in Washington, D.C.
Oh, shoot.
Did you happen to see the video of the chemical weapons being launched against protesters in Philadelphia? Absolutely peaceful. Nobody throwing anything, and the police pinned them against a hill next to a highway and lobbed in canister after canister after canister of poison gas. Because let's be clear when we talk about these things, Todd, tear gas is poison gas. Tear gas is chemical warfare. And if soldiers in opposing armies if it is illegal for them to use it against each other and they are there fighting a war, how in the sweet name of anything is it legal to use it on unarmed civilians?
The idea of America is an illusion.
And I'm just stuck on this notion of what if the group, because, you know, you and I always kid about Venn diagrams. What if there's a Venn diagram called protesters? And what if there's a Venn diagram of rioters? And a Venn diagram of looters? And what if the Venn diagram for rioters and looters doesn't even overlap with the people with the Venn diagram called protesters?
I totally believe that. I think that's exactly what's going on.
What if, on the other hand, the Venn diagram called police has significant overlap with rioters and looters?
Well, okay. There has been people who know, who claim they've seen documents and they follow this, have claimed that they know for a fact that, as we have suspected, law enforcement and the military has been infiltrated by the extreme right wing. And it's very curious, as soon as this administration came in, the first thing they did was get Jeff Sessions, and one of the first things he did was shift the focus from what had been kind of getting these militia groups and white supremacy groups and, you know, the people who really caused him trouble And they said, you know what? We're not going to spend any more money on that. We're looking at Black Lives Matter. They're a terrorist group. That's what we're going to focus on. And locking these little Mexican kids up, you know, these South American people, we got to lock them up. And they said, hey, we need to lock them up because we're going to separate from their families because that'll be a deterrent. They said that. And he said that Sessions said that with a gleam in his eye. He was just twinkling. Oh, I love this because I'm a cracker. And so that's what happened. And he got fired. And they got Whitaker looks like a damn poster boy for white supremacy, just like the Pascal. He looks like a white supremacist to me. He's got that thing. He fits the MO.
He fits
the profile. I'm not trying to generalize people, but I'm just saying he's got the beard, you know, the short hair. He looks like he's Pacific Northwest white supremacy to me. I've been around the block. Am I wrong here?
Nope.
So we had to face facts. And why do they love Russia so much all of a sudden? And you were killing me last night with the ant. How is being anti-fascist a bad thing? At the same time, how is it Russia's our best friend now? All because of that mountain range. These dumb motherfuckers, they know what that mountain range means.
You mean the Caucasus?
Well, that badingo.
Yep. Jimmy observing, when you're a made man in the police mafia, your lawyer is free. And that's the problem. They're all made men. And women. Don't forget the woman who blew away an African-American man in Tulsa saying she was afraid of him from 15 feet away. And it was all filmed, and the jury let her walk.
Okay. I want to give a little illustration to this, too. Now, in terms of protecting yourself, society does not want black people to protect themselves. Look at Marissa Alexander, a social worker. She may have had even a graduate degree. For some reason, I'm thinking she even had a graduate degree. Nonetheless, a professional, had a young baby, and her ex, the baby's father, was abusive. She had a permit to carry. She had a firearm. He approached her in her, as many Florida homes do, the ranch, you know, the roll-up garage. And she discharges her weapon into the ceiling as a warning shot to keep him away. He didn't stay away. She didn't shoot him physically.
She went to prison.
She went to prison.
Hard time.
Wow. Hard time. Now, do you think, let's play that little thought game. What if? What if, let's say, there were a white man attacking a black, I don't, you know, just whatever. You interplay, you know, just be mad lib with people here. You know, why is that? What's the Castle Doctrine? Dylan Roof, he walked away. Everybody saw him murder people.
Got Burger King.
He went to fucking, I'm sorry.
He got Burger King. And as Darlene pointed out, the 23-year-old kid from Connecticut, who went on a killing spree, killed two, maimed one, kidnapped another. The police, led the police on a manhunt over multiple states. And they quietly and gently took him into custody in Maryland.
They gave him warm milk and a blanket and everything.
I didn't know about the warm milk thing, but I wouldn't be surprised. Ovaltine?
You know, I don't know.
I know.
I think
it becomes almost inexpressible.
Yeah, and I'm starting to sound silly now. I just don't. What is it going to take?
I know. I don't know.
So I hope you get. It was nice to hear some new callers the other day, and I don't know. I hope Clarence is doing all right, and Dave in South Carolina, my neighbor, and Tracy. I hadn't heard from you in a minute, but I know you're probably busy doing your thing. And you know, hope your family, everyone's doing well. And
Thank you, Todd. We have
to keep on keeping on. We know we're, you know, sometimes there's no both-siderism. Sometimes people are you disagree with people because they're wrong, not because you disagree with their philosophy.
Or because you don't disagree with them because you hate them. You disagree with them because they're wrong. I mean, there's no
they're wrong.
Everything is not a two-sided coin. Sometimes things just are what they are, and there's not a counter argument to be made. But by God, there are people out there who are, many of them are millionaires in the media, multimillionaires, who feel like that life's just not worth living if you can't if you mention the Proud Boys, if you mention the Boogaloo Boys, well, you have to mention Antifa. Even though the only reason Antifa ever shows up is because of the presence of fascists.
You sound like a certain MSNBC host.
Well, I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I'm kidding, I didn't. Todd, have yourself a good evening. Take care of yourself. Watch your back. Take care.
I see you.
Later.
All right.
Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. David in South Carolina, Stan's doing a great job of keeping me updated in real time on various and sundry things being reported over social media. Jason Leopold and Anthony Cormier, reports that the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, has been cleared to begin covert surveillance of the crowds. Yeah. Because that's important. Somebody might light a doobie. Asa points out, there are no what ifs, Bob. If they're doing it on social media, they're doing it on the streets. Here's the receipt. CBS News. Twitter says a fake Antifa account was run by white supremacists. Of course. Of course. Well, we are surprisingly well along into the program, and Jeremy remains the only person thus far working on keeping the program on the air this evening. Jeremy would love to have some company. And thank you in advance for anyone who chooses to jump in. Thank you so much. Of course white supremacists are running Antifa accounts. They've been taught by the masters. They're so far up Russia's ass, you can see the little maggots when every time the huggable, snuggleable, cuddleable Vlad Putin yawns. For a fact. We haven't heard from Kevin in a long while. And a lot of people, including me, have been worried about him after the fire at his apartment. Are you there, Kevin?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can.
Well, good. I was worried about it, but I'm still here. It's good to hear you all again. Hi to everybody. A month without internet access has been excruciating, but listening to the show tonight while I was on hold was great. I wish it was under different circumstances than the things we are seeing on our TV sets and on our internet. When I had that fire a month ago now, I couldn't have imagined what would be happening in that month since, because it just overshadows my little apartment fire. I didn't know.
I don't think there's any such thing as a little apartment fire, Kevin.
Well, this was not a little apartment fire. It totally destroyed 5 apartments outright the day of the fire, and a 6th one got totaled, I guess you'd say, as well, because they found asbestos in the wall when they tore out the wall to fight the fire. And therefore, all 30 units in the apartment still have not been able to move back in because of the asbestos. And, of course, the five of us whose apartments were totally destroyed have now found other apartments or are still living in a hotel. And, but it's still what's happening on the streets across our country. It just overshadows it. I'm grateful to be in a new apartment, and I wish I had internet access and a computer, but really, compared to what's happening, I'm doing well. You know, I've had people donate furniture to me, a bed, and so, you know, I'm me and Leo the cat are.
I didn't know Leo. I didn't know the cat. I didn't know the cat's name was Leo.
Yep. I named him Leo when I got him as a kitten. He was born in June, but the minute we let him out of his carrier to come in the apartment, he knew he was home, and he immediately took over.
Well, of course, that's his job.
Yeah, exactly. And he was quite traumatized after the fire. I was amazed he survived. I stayed in that apartment as long as I stayed in there as long as I could, trying to get him to come to me. I knew his two hiding spots were under the bed in the bedroom and by the couch by the front door, but I couldn't find him. And I tried calling him out with treats and whatnot. And I was right by the front door. I felt a burst of heat come up as they were fighting the fire down below us in the laundry room. And I knew it was time to get out. And I did not think he would survive. But about 2 hours after they put out the fire, they went up looking for him, and lo and behold, he was still there, still with us. He was traumatized quite a bit.
Poor fella.
But he's done quite well since. I've been pretty proud of him, you know, for the way he's adapted to everything. Because that apartment he was in, I'd been in it 15 years and had him 7 of those years, and that was his only home. But he's done quite well. So, but man, I gotta commend you and Todd for your conversation just now. Some insight, quite a bit of insight into what is happening. I
appreciate that. It's mind-boggling, Kevin. And you just sit there and sort through. You know, it's like looking for a needle in a needle stack. If you know what I mean.
Well, like Todd has said, and you have said, there's almost no words because I forget exactly how you say it, but one day is worse than the next, essentially. And what I witnessed yesterday out of the toddler president, I just couldn't believe it. And to do that photo op like he did, you know, Todd's right. America is an illusion. This is no longer a democracy. It never was a democracy.
Well, how long ago did I say that this toxic presidency has completely exposed every flaw, every exploit in our system, in our culture, and in our society? I mean, that was months ago. Here we are.
Yep. You know, you remember, maybe it's been a couple of years, but you remember the right wing was always yelling posse comitatus. You remember that during the Obama administration?
Oh, yeah. In fact, Irish Dave pointed that out last night, too. That used to be one of the big rallying cries of the violent militia right wing in this country. Posse comitatus, you can't send no soldiers in after us.
Yep. And they're completely silent now, aren't they?
Yeah.
And
This country is awash in pasty-faced, doughy, old white dudes and young white dudes who walk around with assault weapons, claiming that they've got to have them in case the government decides to put its jackbooted jackboots down on our freedom-loving necks right next to the tattoo where it says, only God can judge me. And yet, somehow or another, they're AWOL. Smack dab in the middle of an incident where the jackbooted government is putting its jackbooted down on our freedom-loving necks.
But the
government doing it, they like, so they're fine with it. Oh, and by the way, I just got this in. Carolee, a reporter, I don't know, is she still at Crooks and Liars? I'm not sure. But she retweeted a note from Alex Michelson, Fox LA. A suspect in military apparel was taken into custody with assault weapons charges. Sources say 31-year-old Greg Wong was arrested at 1:30 this morning in downtown L.A., posing as a member of the National Guard. There's concern he was planning an attack, and he had enough ordnance to wage a small one-man war.
You're seeing that in almost every city. We've had a couple arrests like that here in Colorado. And I don't think it'll be too long before we will see something like that. It's probably happened already, and we just haven't heard about it yet. And maybe we won't with the president we have, because you're right. This is what he wants to see. And his little speech last night should prove that to everybody. But I just wanted to check in because it's been a long month without being able to listen to the show. So
Kevin, we're just so glad you're safe and Leo's safe. And you've been on the minds. I've had a lot of inquiries. How's Kevin? And your buddy Lou has been kind enough to keep us updated on your status. Our buddy Lou. And Jude just sent in a note saying Kevin is fully grounded, articulate, a decent person, along with Leo, two of my dearest of friends, Juanita and Kevin, are gifts to me from the Horn. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Jude. Thank you.
Thank you, Jude. And thank you to Lou for passing notes along. I'm still going to be donating to the show at the beginning of every month. That's not going to stop. But it may still be a while before I get internet access. So I hope you don't mind if every so often I dial up the stress line and listen in.
That's just fine. Absolutely. That's what the toll-free number's for.
Well, I will try to give a little extra when I can right now without you just, internet access.
Kevin, you just take care of you, man. You just take care of you.
Well, I'm pretty well taken care of right now. Thank you, Bob. I'm doing all right compared to the rest of the world right now. It has been a little bit hard, but like I'm safe. I've got a roof over my head, and I've got food on the table, and that's really all you can ask in today's America. So, hi to everybody with a horn. It's good to hear you all, and I will check in again very soon. So, words are kind of failing me right now, but
just anytime, Kevin. Don't you worry. All right.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call, Bob, and I'll say hi to everybody once again and check in a week or so.
All right. Sounds good. Anytime, Kevin. You just take care of yourself and
and give Leo a little extra scratch behind the ears for us.
I will do that. He sends his best meows to everybody.
All right. You take care, Kevin. Bye now.
Take care.
It's so good to know Kevin's okay. Note coming in from Glenn in San Diego. What an ironic coincidence that during the opening scenes of the just-released Amazon film Seaberg, actual footage is shown of the 1968 nonviolent marches in L.A. and Oakland involving the Black Panthers protesting police brutality and demanding the release of Huey Newton. They include Cleaver saying the police must be brought under control by any means necessary, including through force of arms. We're going to take up arms and drive them out. I hope this is not history being prophetic, says Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. And thanks going out to folks taking down the fundraising goal some. Darcy kicked in and said, "Hey, Bob, just want to let you know how much I appreciate the show." Well, Darcy, thank you so much. We appreciate you being part of the community. Jeremy jumped in again and said, "I can hold my own and keep myself company, social distancing and all." And then David, thank you, David, for jumping in. And thank you to Rocco. So taken together, we've only got $120 to go to finish the evening. And with the program coming toward its end, I just had a note saying if there's no challenge on the table, and there aren't, an anonymous friend is going to put forth the $100 when Donnie chooses, you loses challenge. When Donnie chooses, you loses. And God, that has never been more true. It gets more true every day. So thank you to our anonymous friend. And that would, if that challenge is met, that would get us $80 into prayer meeting Wednesday, which would be awesome. So the $100 challenge is on the table. Kyle asks in Kentucky, Stan, how much more are we supposed to take? I'm both completely numb and completely filled with outrage, anger, and sadness at the same time. It feels like it feels like a physical weight, doesn't it? It is. I mean, it's like the theme song to all of this is David Bowie and Freddie Mercury singing "Under Pressure." As to Peter Manfredonia, the murderer from Connecticut that went on the rampage. Darlene checked in and said, I was listening to this Connecticut hip-hop R&B station I really like, and the DJ who wanted to do a comparative with George Floyd said the Connecticut fugitive, murderer, kidnapper, hostage-taker, thief, hijacker, Peter Manfredonia, was given water by the police because the arresting officers were worried he might be dehydrated. Well, you know, leading the police on a, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4... 5-state, maybe 6-state chase, that's thirsty work. And you wouldn't want him getting all dehydrated after he's murdered two people, maimed another, and kidnapped one, hijacked a car, stolen shit, including guns. Oh, can't have that. Surprised he didn't get Burger King. Maybe he didn't get Burger King because he killed the wrong color people. I hate that my mind even works like that. I apologize for saying it. That was just awful. Hey, Billable Rick, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay. I mean,
I hear you. I hear you.
I'm happily ensconced and remaining socially distant on here at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and not much else I can ask for.
Okay, well, I was socially distant observing for a few minutes anyway the protest in Yorba Linda, the Black Lives Matter protest, and mostly high school, college age students, and not very many Black lives, but you know they were very spirited and peaceful, which is what you want, you know. No indication of any hooligans or anything like that, you know.
Are they amplifying the message? That's what matters.
Yeah, they are. I can't breathe was what they were shouting. So that gives me hope. And, you know, lest we rag on, that's a wrong way of saying it, lest we criticize Orange County unduly, let's not forget that there are no longer any GOP Congress members in Orange County as of last election cycle, including, you know, the Congress person who represents Yorba Linda. So, you know, it's not, you know, the orange curtain is not, you know, not quite so strong as it used to be. There's a lot of liberals out here as well.
Well, it's a beginning.
It definitely is. Definitely is. Yeah. I'm like about two blocks away from the march, which is down Main Street, the shopping district for the older part of the town. And, I've seen like people parking in the parking lot here that, this office parking lot, we share space with a beauty salon on the other side of the building. And, I've seen people with their homemade signs, like, park and walk out, you know, towards the Main Street, a couple blocks away with their signs. And, you know, no tear gas or anything like that from what I can see. So, that's good. That's good. My concern was,
you said Main Street
further down in Orange County.
You said Main Street,
yeah,
not Main, Main Street.
Main Street. Yeah. Main Street, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That immediately brought to mind the mean streets of Yorba Linda.
Well, you could say that too. or as some people call this, Nixonlandia, you know, because you got the Nixon Library and Birthplace here in Yorba Linda, you know, because it used to be really heavily Republican. But yeah, it's a beautiful day here, low 80s, kind of overcast, but. A little bit muggy, and yeah, I posted it on Facebook. You can take a look at that later if you're interested. About a minute and a half. I'd say probably 300 to 400 marchers were in the crowd. So, you know, good stuff. My concern was, I guess, further south in Orange County, Costa Mesa, which is just next to Newport Beach. Okay, there were a bunch of people who tried to. Meet up and storm what's called South Coast Plaza. They have a lot of luxury stores there, Nordstrom, Gucci, and stuff like that. And I guess the message on Facebook was, homies, meet up for your Gucci's or whatever. Something like, homies, come get your Gucci's, you know, and basically trying to convince people to, you know, to basically loot the place like happened in New York City. Last night, which I thought was absolutely dreadful. I mean, it just is not, that is never the way to get anywhere, you know, looting, destroying things, stealing stuff, you know, you just don't, you know, you don't get people on your side doing that kind of stuff, you know, Bob?
Yeah. And
I understand the desperation that it signifies. Okay. But, yeah, I think a lot of this is just opportunism a lot of times when you see, have the looters out there.
Well, look, it matters not ethnicity matters not. Some people are assholes.
True. That's right. Yep. That's right.
And
yep.
and if
you're right,
if you're walking through broken glass to go into a place you're not supposed to be, to take things that don't belong mm-hmm. to you, you know.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
But understand there are, I mean, the definitions aren't static though, Rick, are they? I mean, for instance, let's say if in the midst of a Black Lives Matter protest, a whole mm-hmm. bunch of people say, put some ropes around a Robert E. Lee statue and pulled it off its pedestal till it shattered into a million pieces. Would mm-hmm. would we call that looting? I wouldn't call that looting.
I'd call that justified self-defense. you know, I call it a good start, actually. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Get rid of those hate-filled, you know, memorials to, you know, the Confederacy.
Those hate-filled memorials to the problem that that's being protested over right damn now.
No kidding. Yes.
As Steve in New York points out, Rick, those people stealing stuff, those thieves, were not the actual protesters.
Exactly.
They're
exactly.
thieves.
And Yeah, I suspect they maybe pretended they were protesters, and then kind of like, you know, as the protest gets moving, they kind of like sneak off and go off to the side and, you know, start looting shit, you know? I doubt there's a lot. I doubt, like you said about the Venn diagrams earlier, I don't think there's much of an intersection between the protesters and the looters, to tell you the truth. I think most of these looters are just, you know, they're looking for an opportunity. You know, they're just looking for free stuff, you know, for the most part. And they're just looking to, you know, they don't care how they get it or who they hurt doing it, you know. Like you said, they're assholes.
I mean, sometimes you just kind of have to, sometimes you just have to acknowledge reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
no doubt about it.
And you're not, you know, sometimes we can stop with the navel gazing and the hand wringing and the pearl clutching and go, look, assholes.
Right, exactly.
Because there's a big difference between a white girl in a floral print blouse, beaten feet out of a broken into Target, carrying goddamn desk lamps with chintz shades, and somebody and somebody who goes into the grocery section and comes out with, you know, cans of soup. One person is a thief, the other person is a survivalist. And I remember when American media made a clear distinction between the two during Katrina.
Right. I remember that. Yes. Yes. Yep.
Of course, they got it dead wrong, but, you know, bless their hearts.
They tried anyway. You know, what can you expect from lamestream media or whatever, huh? But they, speaking of the media, they came down almost instantaneously on Trump after that stunt yesterday where he stood in front of St. John's Church holding a Bible.
Oh, know? Man, when an Episcopal bishop and a Catholic archbishop come down on the same side of an issue, and that issue is to bust Trump, it may be the end times. Maybe this this heals the schism. Nah, not really.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know. yeah, you never know. But I mean, the guy, you know, he had the people tear gas so he could have his damn photo op. And
did you see did you see the photo, Rick? I mean, it's creepy. Side by side photos of Adolf Hitler holding up a Bible in almost the very same pose that Trump used holding up a Bible. Of course, Trump's a fuck up, and he held it up upside down. Just as I predicted.
Okay. Sort of like George Bush or George W. Bush reading My Pet Goat Upside Down when he was notified.
Right, or else the Bible was in Arabic or Hebrew, and you read it, and, you know, you read it backwards compared to how, you know, we read in
I'll have to look at that more carefully. You know, the thing about the Hitler thing, I mean, I think he's idolized Hitler for like all of his adult life, because that's sort of the way he looks at things. He wants to be a strong man. And I mean, I don't know who said he had, maybe it was Ivana, I think said he had, like Hitler's speeches on his nightstand by his bed.
Right.
And he would read them. He would read them at night before he went to bed. So, I mean, the guy is obviously patterning himself after somebody, you know, and, I mean, after that stunt yesterday and then the fucking, you know, Weasley, you know, Republicans, they refused to come down on him for anything. I don't know what the hell Chuck Grassley said. I mean, that guy sounds like he's, well, we know he's senile, but it's like, man, it's time for you to leave, you know, let's get a real senator from Iowa in there, you know? And same thing with Joni Ernst. She's up for election this time around. I think Chucky has to wait a couple of years before he stands again. But, I mean, they are total, you know, they're lickspittle accomplices. They're Quislings, Bob. The Republican Party are Quislings for Trump. I mean, he really could shoot somebody on, I guess it would be Pennsylvania Avenue now, And they would say, well, you know, I'm sure he knew what he was doing. And,
they had it coming.
I know he had his reasons.
But... They had it coming. They had it coming. MAGA, they had it coming.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, Darlene says, I don't condone the looting at all. But don't forget, we are in the midst of a pandemic with, what is it, 40 million people out of work claiming unemployment?
Yeah.
Something along those lines. Maybe some of the looting was out of desperation as the Congress and Trump have been ineffectual in addressing the economic mayhem. Yeah, that's what I was trying to point out. There's a big difference between going in and grabbing dinner when you don't have money for it going in and getting, you know, table lamps with which to redecorate. I don't.
Yeah, or you've got three or four boxes of Nike shoes under your arms, you're bringing out, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. You can't eat shoes, last time I checked, Bob. Although, I guess you can, but it doesn't taste very good.
Well, I mean, you know, Confederate traitors boiled their shoe leather down and ate it during the Civil War.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking exactly that, yeah.
The photo of Hitler and Trump with the Bible, the Hitler photo isn't real.
Oh, yeah, it's not.
Yeah, it's been busted. But along those lines, here's another line for you, a tweet from a guy named Ben Wexler. Tweeted, leaders who have hidden in a bunker and gassed their own citizens include Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler, and Donald Trump. He then responded to his own tweet saying, guys, this tweet was uncalled for. I never should have called Donald Trump a leader.
I like that. Oh,
isn't that
geez.
Nice? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a congressman named Wexler. It's a different guy, though. It's not the same. It's not a Ben Wexler. I think he's from New York or something like that, New York State.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe Florida. No, Florida. Florida, I think. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I haven't really followed the news so much today. You know, how are things looking out there as far as, you know, the protests and, the other three officers in Minneapolis getting charged, that sort of thing.
Keith Ellison is moving fairly methodically, but I don't think the other three lynchers are going to skate on this.
I don't think so. It's more problematic. You know, their level of responsibility is there, but it's more complicated, let's say. And you got to take your time to make sure you gather all the facts and, you know, interview them. I'm sure they're not going to say a damn thing because the cop union and the attorney that the cop union provides them is going to say, just shut the F up, you know, don't say a thing. But yeah, there are going to be some charges. I don't think we're going to see anything like a felony murder charge. Most states, by the way, do have the felony murder charge, Bob. I know California does. You know, it's under the common law, and you know what, 49 out of the 50 states adopted the common law, whereas New Orleans, you know, Louisiana went with the Napoleonic Code. And I think felony murder, it's just kind of an old common law doctrine, you know, where if you commit a felony in the course of a murder and, you know, you're an accomplice with other people, even though you didn't pull the trigger, you're just as guilty as the guy who pulled the trigger. In this case, the guy who had the knee on George Floyd's neck, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the Washington D.C. field office of the FBI, this is courtesy of this is from the Nation. David in South Carolina, Stan just shared that. The FBI field office quote has no intelligence indicating Antifa involvement or presence in the violence that took place on May 31st. None. Zero.
Okay.
And oddly, the violence
across the country or what?
Well, I think specific to D.C.
Okay.
But there's not going to be any
because the violence is being perpetrated by people who are trying to get the boogaloo going. I mean, I just like to slap the shit out of whoever named it the boogaloo. Taken from was that movie, Electric Boogaloo? That's where it comes
what
from.
What year? What year is that?
Oh, God, what is it, 80s, early 90s?
Huh. Okay. I thought that was an older term. It's got to be, Bob.
Well, it is, but the movie comes along, and that's what.
Okay.
That was their point of departure for it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these. I'm just so tired of these Nazis. I mean, we. You know what? Hate crimes are up. 2,000% since Trump took over.
Yeah, and here's a hint. Whatever. That's not Antifa. That's Trump's supporters.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, generally, you only have Antifa come to the fore if there's like white supremacists that are on the march, you know, like happened in, you know, Charlottesville, Virginia, and in Seattle, you know, the big fight between the white supremacists and the Antifa people. I know there were some big Antifa demonstrations and fights in, I think it was the Bay Area. I don't know if it was... might have been San Francisco, Oakland, not sure which one. But yeah, the Antifa only comes out if the fascists are out. Let's say, out in the open.
They're strictly responsive. Like, they don't initiate.
Right.
They respond and defend.
Exactly. Yeah. And how do I join my local Antifa chapter, Bob? I'm trying to figure that out.
That's the problem. You really can't, Rick, because they don't even have a lodge hall or a secret handshake.
Damn, I tell you, just like I guess like the group Anonymous, right? The Net Group.
Yeah.
Haven't heard from them lately. Wonder what they're up to.
Oh, and I got a trenchant observation here from Cynthia saying, talking about looting. I wonder how much stuff you could buy with all the looting the Trump swamp creatures are stealing from the country. I bet it could pay for all the stuff taken during these protests. Oh, and maybe I shouldn't say it, but you know what Hitler did in his bunker? I guess he was just practicing his Second Amendment rights, though. I'm disgusting. Sorry about that. No apologies necessary, Cynthia. No apologies necessary.
Yeah. Well, we can all have our fantasies, Bob. What the hell, right? You know? I mean, I'm sure that the Secret Service yesterday was having a heart attack when Trump was like walking. He had very little protection around him, walking from the White House to that church for that lame ass photo op, you know?
Yeah. Wasn't that just weird the way that all of his, foot pads, cut purses, highwaymen, lick spittles and boot licks all stood off to one side while he stood by himself holding up that dumbass Bible.
The Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope
it might have been, you know, for all I know, it was portrait of an artist as a young man. I mean, who knows, Bob? Did it say Bible? I never even saw it.
No, there was no. That's weird. It's weird to see a book that is purported to. Most Bibles say Holy Bible on the front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. They do. And of course, it wasn't his Bible. He was asked if it was his.
Well, that's the one thing that concerned
me. No, it's a Bible.
That's the one thing that concerned me. I hope it was not a valuable book from the collection of the Library of Congress. I hope it wasn't Lincoln's Bible.
Oh, geez. You never know. Oh, man. Yeah, he could get anything he wants, basically, right? I still depart from you, Bob, about what people would do if he did start to shoot somebody, you know, start to shoot into a crowd. I think there'd be at least one or two Secret Service people of good conscience who would stop the threat, let's just say. You know?
One hope.
Just from that standpoint. You would like to think so, yeah. Yeah. Even though legally they know they can't do anything. That's why you have to go extra legally if you can't do anything legally. That's the whole problem with this whole box that we've been put in as a country. I mean, you know, you have a president that is unchecked and the Republican Party that is above, you know, you know, party first, country last, you know? Forget about this whole country first bullshit that McCain was talking about when he was running in 2008, you know? It's country last, baby. Me first, country last. I'm going to get everything I possibly can and F everybody else. That's the whole attitude here, you know? And, geez, I just hope that people don't lose sight of the fact that he brought us this COVID pandemic, at least made it a lot worse, and had no plan for it. And, you know, he's the reason the economy is bad. And he's the reason for all this unrest, because he, you know, he destroyed a lot of, you know, Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions III, backed out of a whole lot of consent decrees that police departments had entered into with the U.S. DOJ all across the country shortly after he came in to office, or shortly after he was appointed AG and confirmed. And, basically, there is no more reforming of the police force as long as this guy's in office. You know, he doesn't care.
Hey,
he has no plan.
Hey, Rick. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, Bob. You there, Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, I need to clear the line because Malloy is calling in. He is in downtown Atlanta at the protest.
Okay. Sounds good. Nice talking to you, and good to hear Kevin again.
Indeed. Take care. Take care, Bill. We'll talk soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, Mike, do we have you?
Yes, I'm here.
I hear a little noise in the background. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, well, Molly and I are right downtown Atlanta at CNN Center, the Omni Hotel, and there must be, oh, shit, I don't know how to guess, maybe 8,000-10,000 people here. We got military to our left. We've got Humvees to our right. We got police in front of us. We've been marching for about 2 miles. There's helicopters above us and drones. I don't know if you can hear the crowd. Can you?
I hear some of it, yeah.
Okay, let me put you on you're on speaker.
Okay.
But this has been a massive demonstration. I really don't care how it's being reported or who's talking about it. But there are thousands upon thousands of people here. The curfew in Atlanta goes into effect in about an hour. And I don't know that any of these people are aware of it. But there go the chants again. More arrests are being made right now. People are having those goddamn plastic handcuffs put on. You're familiar with those, Bob?
Those are hateful.
The noise here is getting deafening. But Molly said earlier tonight, we have to go down. We have to go, Dad. And being the old fucker that I am, it was a little... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say the F word.
Oh, you're more than welcome to. We fling it around pretty freely here.
Okay. You know, being an old man, I thought, hey, you know, I've done this. I've been doing this for 50 goddamn years. But this is so different. This is so much different. Black lives matter. I have a black son. This has to change. Just sign after sign. Enough is enough. No justice, no peace. So here we are. I wish I could send you some video. Molly will be posting some video tomorrow somewhere, I'm sure.
Okay.
But, anyway, I just wanted to check in. I know you're about out of time. I just wanted to let you know that we're here in downtown Atlanta.
I'm glad you did call in, Mike. This is, you know, I'm up in the isolated hills in Appalachia, so
this is
intensely valuable. What do the police and military? I mean, is that National Guard or is that U.S. military?
It looks like National Guard. It's difficult to tell. They're not wearing a lot of insignia, but some of them are carrying automatic weapons. I don't know what the point is of that. All right, we're working our way closer to where the police line is. Molly, don't get too far ahead. And right behind the police line is the military with their Humvees and troopers standing up on the vehicles. I mean, this is a mindfuck, Bob. I mean, this is America June 2nd, 2020, and I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. You've got a lot to compare this to, Mike. I mean, you and I were both up in the anti-Klan protest in Cumming years and years ago, and we were at an anti-Iraq war protest in D.C. a few years back. This is orders of magnitude different from either of those, I trust.
Oh my God, it's different. Okay, wait a second. Something. Oh my. I may have to grab my daughter and get out of here in a second.
Yeah, it may be time to break camp.
Yeah, all right, it calmed down again. It's just very intense here. This is, you know, this is Atlanta, one of the birthplaces of the civil rights movement. And so far, oh, here they come. Look out, Molly, step aside. Here they come, holy fuck. They're splitting us up. They're trying to divide us with these huge motorcycles. Oh, shit. All right, Molly. Let's drift over this way. No? All right. Molly won't give up.
Well, that's because she's her father's daughter.
Oh, these young kids. Oh, these young kids, you know?
Yeah, I can't teach them anything.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm reading a sign. Roses are red, violets are blue. Fuck police brutality. End of poem.
Well, at least somebody brought their sense of humor.
Say again?
I said at least somebody brought their sense of humor.
Yeah. Oh, we're all kneeling now. We're down. Everybody's down. I don't know what's going on, but we're down.
Call if you have to make bail.
Oh, it's fuck the governor, Brian Kemp. Oh, boy.
Well, I can sign on with that.
Yes.
Anybody wearing masks? I guess social distancing's kind of out the window, isn't it?
Everybody's wearing masks. I had one on until I got on the phone. I got my antibody test back today, and I was not exposed when I thought I was. So I'm as vulnerable as anybody else now.
Well, remember that antibody test is only 50% likely to be right.
That's true.
Yeah, but it tends to give false positives. So
everybody down on their knees. Don't shoot. Hands up. Don't shoot.
Can you give an idea, Mike, of the age makeup? Is it all mostly young people, or does it run the gamut?
Bob, I will guarantee you, I'm the oldest guy around in a crowd of about 10,000 or 15,000. It's all young people, black and white. I don't know what's being said now. Getting scary.
I'd say Brian
Kemp again. All right.
Hey, Mike, I think we better
go.
Yeah, I think you need you and Molly stay safe and get yourself a planned route of egress, because if they start the kettling bullshit, it's going to be awful.
Right. Well, it's right where you and I used to work, right at CNN.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Stay safe, Mike.
Olympic Park.
Yep.
All right. Wait. Somebody's talking. Hold on. No, we can't hear him. All right, I'm going to say goodbye.
All right, Mike, take care. You and Molly be safe.
We will.
Hey, check back in. Text me or something when you get home so I know you got home safe, okay?
Will do.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. The incomparable Mike Malloy with his amazing daughter alongside The Apple Falleth Not Far from the Tree. Proud of them. I'm proud of them. Mike doesn't just sit behind a microphone and talk. Mike talks the talk, but most importantly, he walks the walk.
So it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing I got a little bit of a late start, because we'll pretty quickly have our 3 hours in. And I want to thank Charlene for jumping in on the When Donnie Chooses You Loses anonymous challenge. Thank you very, very kindly, Charlene. That's the good Charlene, not the Charlene that Joey was talking about. That's Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you, Charlene. So $125 remain. Hopefully maybe the overnight crew can knock some of that down. If any of y'all are anywhere and you're participating in the protest, know that you have my undying respect and that I honor you for what you are doing. Thank you. If this country is to be saved, it will be saved by this effort. I was thinking last night about how many times I've said on this program that in the modern era, protest has become performance art. And the way I described it was that people show up, and we'll use D.C. as an example. You show up in D.C. on Thursday, you get your training Thursday night, and you gather together and do your tactics and strategy on Friday, and on Saturday you hold your protest, and on Sunday you're gone. Oh, I need to correct. The challenge that's on the table is a $100 challenge. So there's not $125 left of it. There's $75 left of it. That's my bad. I apologize. But there's $75 to go on the When Donnie Chooses You Lose This Challenge. I regret the error. That's the way it worked. It was stylized. It was performance art because people couldn't afford to protest on a Monday. But we're in the middle of a pandemic. Millions and millions of people are out of work. Tens of millions of people are out of work. The government has given up any notion of actually trying to ease the pain of the pandemic. And in so doing, this maladministration created perfect circumstances for people to finally come out of their homes in the middle of a pandemic and do exactly what I used to say, what I've said so many times. When you go and you protest and you don't leave, then they have to take you seriously. Even gone so far as to talk about thousands or hundreds of thousands of people surrounding the White House and refusing to leave. And that's why the curfew. I personally don't think it has that much to do with vandalism or rioting. It has to do with the existential fear of this gang of thugs, cut purses, foot pads, highwaymen, lick spittles, boot licks, you know, maggots. The curfews have to do with the fear they have, at least in Washington, D.C., that at some point in time, we the people will make his continued presidency unbearable to him. And that, well, it may turn out to be... I know where I stand on this. The Patriots aren't the ones in green uniforms. The Patriots aren't the ones in the blue uniforms. The Patriots aren't carrying guns. The Patriots are the ones walking through the streets peacefully, chanting "Black Lives Matter." They are the Patriots in this struggle. Thank you to Shorty in L.A. Shorty says she's finishing the challenge. Thank you, Shorty. Thank you very kindly. So we'll wrap it up here. I want to check in and watch the and see coverage from various areas of the country and see how these fascists behave. Remember, the definition of fascists comes from the Roman word fasces. And the fasces were a bundle of wooden rods with an axe in the middle, bound together, and they were the ceremonial emblem of office of the official bodyguards of Roman Republic office holders. And they represented the ability to use brute force. They were carried by the Latin word for the bodyguards was lictors, L-I-C-T-O-R-S. And they were empowered to beat anyone who threatened the office holder with those rods and axes. And that is where the word fascist comes from. Because fascists impose rule by threat of and delivery of brutal violence. And this is one of those moments where if it quacks like a goose and it steps like a goose, it's by God a fascist. The lines could not be drawn any more clearly. Olga Lautman via Twitter notes, the corrupt criminal mafia thug regime beholden to Putin is treating our peaceful protesters like enemies in a war zone. The small coward is using the might of our military that belongs to America to intimidate our protesters, exercising their First Amendment rights. Subject line, bunker-ish, Jack in Shreveport says, Trump's got more forces coming to protect him in D.C., including soldiers with bayonets and military vehicles. I think he'll try to keep all that there until and maybe through the elections. What do you think? See, that's the thing he doesn't understand. He's not in charge of this. The people have taken the power. This will end when the people decide it ends, and not a moment before. It could not be more clear. Les writing in says, talking about some of the things Rick was discussing, Billable Rick. The fucking KKK cops and Boogaloo white racists are setting the fires and doing the looting. I believe that with every fiber of my being. Agent provocateur trying to pose as us. The KKK cops are setting out bricks to break windows. The white racists dressed up as if they were Antifa when it's Identity Evropa who are the enemy of Antifa and us. I could not agree more or less. So thank you all for keeping the program on the air. How can I say that? When the pandemic began, I said it felt like that this is the moment this program has been existing for all this time, and you have made that absolutely true. So I thank you, and I thank you all who participate in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Stop telling people how to riot, Bob. Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you. thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net.
20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and we know a little bit about protest. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. I think about the late, great Judy Bonds and how proud she would be to see these protests taking place. How very proud indeed. As she lay dying from the cancer that the coal industry gave her, among her final words were two: fight harder. Glad to know folks are wearing masks down in Atlanta. Y'all stay safe. Stay home unless you're going to the protest. Be as safe as you can be if you're at the protests. And avoid maggots at all hazard. Avoid them as if they are the plague. Because they are. Physically, spiritually, philosophically, and politically, they are the plague that devils bedevils us. Thanks again to Shorty for finishing the challenge. And a note coming in from Lady B just says, Mike, with a series of, let's see, we've got the tear emoji, the wearing a mask emoji, the heart eyes emoji, and the hands clasped in prayer emoji. Thanks, Lady B. And Asha Rangappa reminding us that this is being driven by Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr, who's not a real general of any force. He's giving the orders for the use of force. She notes his personal army does not belong to any federally authorized force and won't identify itself. He's obscuring legal accountability by moving federal law enforcement to DEA. They are a dirty lot. And they're not ashamed, for they have no shame. Steve in New York says, apparently the New York curfew has started. I'm still out. I saw five terrorists. Oops, NYPD. Were walking in the subway station. One was twirling his baton. Fucker. Thanks, Steve. So back tomorrow. Prayer meeting Wednesday. Later, y'all.